message by Pastor Joshua Johnian is made possible by Maranatha Partners, helping people everywhere believe that Jesus is the only way. You will find us online at maranathach.com. Click the Connect with Us on Facebook tab to visit Pastor Joshua's daily devotionals, teaching notes, video clips, and a complete archive of Pastor Joshua's daily blog. These teachings are intended to unpack and present an innovative approach to understanding the questions of purpose and destiny through the Word of God. We now join today's teaching.
First of all, we just welcome all of our visitors. We have a couple of visitors here that are out of town, and they're worshiping with us. Some mutual friends that we have that pointed them our way, and they're here on some business. So I want to welcome you, and I want to thank you for being part of our fellowship today and our family of faith here in Franklin. And we're just so glad that you're worshiping with us. Of course, everyone else that's part of the family, you know what it's like to be a part of this family of faith. And it goes without saying, but I like to say it anyway. Y'all really do bring the community of faith together in such a new and fresh way. And every time we get to come and worship together, we get to experience His Word, we get to share in the Word. Those are those times of refreshing that really build our family. And I'm thankful for the community here that we're a part of in Franklin and this community of faith here at Maranatha. So welcome all of you, and blessings to you as well as we get ready to look at today's teaching. And it's the final part of a three-part teaching series that is under the umbrella of a theme we've been exploring here at Maranatha, titled Revive Us Again. But within that theme of revival and the need for ourselves to enter into these seasons of refreshing and outpouring and revival, we've been exploring these biblical principles that we can look into at God's Word and then discover how these biblical principles are relevant for our lives today. And so we have specifically been looking at, for the past 3 weeks, the idea of God's courage, God's power, and God's answer to our prayer. And today we're going to look at answered prayers. So before I even get started here, how many people here, show of hands, have have need for prayers being answered? Yes, and by the way, my second hand is up because the first hand is me agreeing with you, and my second hand is me saying that I have prayer that needs to be answered. So we are in agreement there that we need an understanding of how God does in fact answer prayers. And I was thinking about today's teaching as I was preparing it. I had an awesome opportunity, by the way, this weekend, and this is connected to today's teaching, but I had an awesome opportunity to minister the Word in Nashville this past weekend on Friday. A friend of mine who actually about 8 years ago when I was serving on ministry staff at another church in the Brentwood, Antioch area, he was in my youth group. Now, he has gone on to go to Bible college and began to walk into what the Lord is leading him. And so he's beginning to pursue ministry endeavors of bringing the kingdom of God to his local community. And so it was an awesome time to reconnect with him. And he had asked me to come out on Friday to share the Word with his fellowship and his family. And it was when I was sitting down thinking about what I was going to share with that community of faith in Nashville, the Lord just kind of spoke to me and said, you know, what you're going to share with them is what you're going to share with your family in Franklin. My Word is just as good there as it is for here. So this is what you're going to share. And one of the nuggets that I got out of that time of sharing on Friday was that as we're entering into the season of Advent, I couldn't help but find it interesting that as we finish up this series on courage, power, and answered prayer, it actually brings us into a season today where we are celebrating the ultimate answer to prayer in Emmanuel, God with us. In fact, all of our teachings on community, revival, our studies in the book of Jude and Revelation are all pointing us to this blessed reality that for the believer is that God does answer prayer. over the past two teachings on prayer and courage specifically, I was hoping to establish that we need to be those disciples of Christ today that live, move, and have our being not from a position of our own power or courage, but from the power and courage of Jesus Christ alive and moving through us in our circumstances and seasons of life. Now, using the life and ministry of the prophet Elijah, scripturally speaking, 1 Kings chapter 18, we have already been witnessing the life of a man who lived and experienced a life full of the power and courage given from on high. It was the courage of God, not man, that took a seemingly insignificant, unknown prophet to stand before a king and bring a nation to the knees of repentance. But it also took the power of God through an ordinary prophet to fill with fire the hearts of people and get them once again living their life off of the fence and with God back to serving the Lord alone. And while even a king and his queen did not repent, the heart of the nation took a turn toward revival. And this is the work of a big God who is constantly on the rescue plan of redemption and restoration. But essential to the outpouring of the fire of God on Mount Carmel in 1 Kings chapter 18 is therefore this reality that God, in a mighty display of his power in a critical situation, is focusing us on the necessary action and the beautiful reminder that God does answer prayers. You know, I've often heard it said, and maybe you've heard some similar version of what I'm going to share here, that I've heard people say this, if God wants to do something, it's none of your business, and he does not need you interfering with his plans. Now, if you've been journeying with us for the past couple of weeks in this particular teaching series, then you've already come to the conclusion that the power of God, this theological term called the aseity of God or the omnipotence of God, but the power of God does in fact allow God to do all he wants and wills to do. And he is only limited by his character. But included in what God wills and wants is also the startling reality that you and I matter very much to him. God wills, and in doing so, he has even made provision and purpose in his will for you and your livelihood. You see, it's a misplaced assumption to believe that all God cares about is what is important to him, and if that in some way does not include you, and then therefore you are less important to him. That is untrue. In all that God does, he considers always the totality of all creation, especially that which he loves, purposed, and called. And that is why he, in his power, considers you. You see, the promises of God are not meant to inhibit our prayer. Rather, the promises are meant to draw us closer to God, and in a way that when we draw closer to him, we know that in his will and in his purposes being done, he uses the vehicle of prayer to remind us of himself. Now, last week, and the week before, as we were looking at the life of Elijah, we saw that the primary reason Elijah was even able to stand before Ahab, and then again at Mount Carmel, was because he was a man who was walking in the reality and in the expectation that God has already and will continue to answer prayer. Now, this Old Testament example is once again revisited within the New Testament When we read in the book of James, the writings of St. James, and so if you're going to turn with me, turn in your Bible to James chapter 5, verses 13 through 18. Now, if you have your old school Bible, that's the paper Bible, go ahead and take some time to turn there. I got some techies in my church here, in our family, so I know you like to hop on the iPad or your phones and pull up your digital Bible and allows you to get through a couple translations, so go ahead and fire over there. And as you're turning there, I'm going to begin to read James chapter 5, verse 13 through 18. And for context purpose, we're going to focus on some of the earlier verses to begin with, but we're going to specifically target the later part of this passage to understand this concept that God is answering prayer. So here's James chapter 5, verse 13 through 18. If any of you are having trouble, pray. Now, if you will allow me to insert, and I'm going to do so very delicately and very carefully and very respectfully, the translation of Joshua. That's me. just follow with me for a moment, though. You're going to see how this reads. If any of you are having trouble, pray. Insert Joshua translation. Because the Lord answers prayer. Then it goes on. If you are happy, sing psalms. Joshua translation. Why? Because the Lord inhabits the praises of his people. If you are sick, call for the church leaders. Have them pray for you and anoint you with olive oil in the name of the Lord. Now, I don't have to add a Joshua translation here because James actually explains, because prayers offered in faith will save those who are sick and the Lord will cure them. So, you're having trouble? Pray, because God answers prayer. If you're happy, sing psalms. Why? Because the Lord inhabits your praises. If you're sick, pray, be anointed, have leaders lay hands on you, because the Lord, by faith, in that prayer, in that time, in that agreement, will cure. Now, we start getting to some of the tricky area here. If you have sinned, you will be forgiven. Joshua translation, why? Because the Lord says, call on the name of the Lord in a day of trouble and you will be saved. 1 Chronicles 7:14. Those who are called by my name, if you will humble, turn, pray, and repent, I will hear from heaven, I will forgive your sin, and I will heal your land. Those are just two very small scriptures in an abundance of scripture that tells you, if you have sinned, you will be forgiven if you turn. Verse 16. So admit your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you will be healed. Healing is tied, therefore, within James's teaching, healing is tied to repentance. Now, here's where really the hammer drops. Prayers offered by those who have God's approval are effective. Now, we're going to look at this word effective in a moment. But let's just, before we look there, look at what James just dropped on us. Meaning, you can, if you can be approved by God, and the prayers of those who are approved by God are effective, that means there can be the possibility that there are those who are praying to God, and there are those who are praying to a God, but those prayers are not effective, solely based on the reason of they do not have God's approval. Now, we may stop here and ask ourselves, then how do I know if I have God's approval or not have God's approval? All you need to do is just go back one line and realize that James already hinted at the answer. If you have sinned, you will be forgiven. So admit your sins to each other, pray for one another, that you might be healed. Sin gets in the way in our life of getting God's approval. And that gets in the way of our prayer time. And it certainly gets in the way of the answered prayer time. You know, newsflash here, everyone. Prayer is not a uniquely Christian discipline. Buddhists pray. Hindus pray. Muslims pray. A lot of other people pray to deities across all of this world. Christians pray. And even those who are not praying to Yahweh, Jehovah, God, Jesus, those who are not praying there and are praying to other things, they are tapping into a power. Because we know this world already has a power and principalities that are not of the kingdom of God, but rather the kingdom of Satan, and they are established on this earth. So when they're praying, they are tapping into a power. And for a season, it may even look as if that power is a sign or a show of answered prayer. So prayer is not a uniquely Christian discipline. But when we are praying to God, to Jehovah, to Yahweh, to Jesus, we know we are tapping into the ultimate power source. We are tapping into Pantokrator, as the Greek says, or as we have in the English translation, Almighty God. And He does answer the prayers of the faithful and the righteous. And now, here's why I brought in this James passage, because James then brings in another hammer drop when he says in verse 17, Elijah was human like us. Yet, when he prayed that it wouldn't rain, no rain fell on the ground for 3.5 years. Then he prayed again, it rained, and the ground produced crops. Now I want to take some time here to look more closely at these verses 16 through 18 because they are the biblical nuggets that help us understand and appreciate the results of effectual prayer. First, we must note that St. James states that effective prayer is discovered by those who have God's approval. Within the context of what we have just read, we see James has laid the foundations for approved people by those who recognize the dangers of sin and turn from their sin. But we also see that St. James even further clarifies that this kind of prayer is effective. And in the Greek, this word effective translates in our English definition as intense, fervent, and not wavering. Now, does that not remind us of what James has just said about effective prayer, unwavering prayer? Now that brings us right back to 1 Kings 18, when Elijah told the children of Israel, how long will you limp and teeter between two opinions? In other words, how long will you be on the fence? You have to be fervent and you have to be non-wavering. Now this is not a theme that James just brings up in chapter 5, because if you turn to James 1:6, he says the following: when you ask for something, don't have any doubts. A person who has doubts is like a wave that is blown by the wind and tossed by the sea. A person who has doubts shouldn't expect to receive anything from the Lord. A person who has doubts is thinking about two different things at the same time and cannot make up his mind about anything. You see, what Elijah was filled with God's courage and with God's power, and then the sign of answered prayers through his ministry, what Elijah was filled with is what we need to be filled with today. Elijah was filled with the very Holy Spirit of God. That's why he was able to do what was the seemingly naturally impossible, but totally possible for God. And what we need to be walking in when we need to live as those who live, move, and have our being in Christ, that means we live, we have our purpose, we have our emotion, and we have our identity, not in ourselves, but in Christ. And when we are there and we are in Him and He is in us, then we will be those who are energized by the Holy Spirit. And then the righteous prayers of those energized by the Spirit are prayers that are always heard. You see, James turns to this man, Elijah, that we've already spent the past 2 weeks looking at, as a biblical proof. And then he points to us by saying, Elijah was human like us, but said another way, that's also translated to say, Elijah was a man who lived with like passions. You see, Elijah was no different than you and I. It cannot be said that Elijah was extraordinary and so raised above us that we cannot afford to use him as an example applicable to common people in common situations. You see, while what is natural to God manifested itself supernaturally in Elijah's ministry and life, the truth of his courage and power came from his praying earnestly, or, said another way, one who prayed with prayer. Now that's an odd English expression for us, but within the Hebrew worldview, within the Jewish worldview, what it really means is that Elijah was a man who prayed intensely. In Luke 22:15, we read a similar expression when it says, "With desire I have desired," or, said another way, "I have earnestly desired." You see, God's word nowhere promises that Christians will always have an easy life. But his word does tell us what to do when we face trials, tribulations, need answers, and need his intervention. The reality that we have experienced and seen within the Christian worldview and the Christian experience is that we will face affliction. But when such times come and when we face such crossroads, what we need to do is fervently, earnestly, intensely, unwaveringly pray. James does not promise that God removes the affliction, but he does suggest that God will give the grace necessary to endure it. And St. James is a man who believed in prayer. Elijah believed and lived in prayer, and Jesus modeled prayer for the life of the disciple. A theologian Walt Kaiser Jr. says, and I quote, "Too frequently we moderns have hidden behind the doctrine of the sovereignty of God as the reason why we are hesitant to pray fervently and persistently for revival. Scripture will not tolerate such a conclusion any more than it would have if Elijah just sat and waited for a great and immediate crisis to be over." End quote. Elijah's example is revisited in St. James' words and should challenge our presuppositions and poor excuses for not believing that the promises of God is to bless and answer the prayers of the faithful. Certainly, we can only conclude Elijah's prayer time was of a private and a public nature, where was an intense prayer life. And even in his absence of 3.5 years, his thoughts, heart, praise, and prayer were focused on the very big reality of a big God who in fact does answer prayer. You see, on Mount Carmel, Elijah arrived already prayed up, living in God's courage, having his power, and it was followed by a simple and beautiful humility, because it says in 1 Kings 18 that Elijah even bowed and prayed 7 times before the fire of God came down. But let us not leave here today thinking that Elijah only did this for one big performance at Mount Carmel. Rather, we read that Elijah was persistent in praying. And best of all, Elijah was a man who positioned all of his prayer in the expectation of God's promises being true and faithful. And so in conclusion, I pray that the prayer life of Elijah and St. James comes to be our experience, and we live with the expectation of bold prayers and answered prayers being fulfilled, because we are to be those living as the faithful, and God answers prayer. Amen. Amen. Let's now pray.
The preceding message by Joshua Johnyon was brought to you by friends and partners of Maranatha Koinonia, helping people everywhere believe that Jesus is the only way. Be sure to visit us at maranathach.com and like us on Facebook and Twitter at Maranatha Koinonia.